Support for podcasts of Medical Monday comes from the hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley. 1-888-525-HQMP or 4767 for appointments.
Good afternoon, everybody. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for this Monday, May 21st. I'm Alan Chartok. Underwriting support for Medical Monday comes from Saratoga Hospital, announcing the opening of the new Saratoga Hospital Medical Group Primary Care Mechanicville office on Central Avenue in Mechanicville, saratogahospital.org. For more information, joining us today is Dr. Russell Tigas of Orthopedic Associates of Dutchess County. He's here to discuss joint replacement. It's going to be a busy hour, so be sure to get your calls in early. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. The doctor, your calls, all coming up on Vox Pop right after this news. Hello once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us today is Dr. Russell Tigas of Orthopedic Associates of Dutchess County. He's here to discuss joint replacement. We're not talking marijuana here, folks. We're talking about, you know, joints in the body. Dr. Tigas is board certified in orthopedics and joint replacement. He's the medical staff president at Northern Dutchess Hospital, past surgeon, chairman of surgery at NDH, and a member of the American Association of Hip and Knee Surgeons. Dr. Tigas, welcome to Medical Monday.
Thank you.
Yeah. You like, do you like, you know, Winnie the Pooh?
I used to, yes.
Remember Tigger?
Sure.
That's close to Tigger.
That's how I, when I was in training at the Children's Hospital, I'd tell them I'm Dr. Tigger with an S instead of an R.
That's great. Okay. The telephone number, folks, is 1-800-348-2551. So you're replacing joints, you do hips, and you do knees.
Yes, sir.
Now, I hear, through the grapevine, of course, that hips are easier for surgeons than are knees. Is that right?
For most people, the recovery is definitely easier for most hip replacements versus knee replacements. As far as the surgeon's concerned, I think it's very much surgeon preference, but the recovery in general is considered a lot easier for hips than knees.
How do people know when their problem is back versus hip?
It's a tough tough question to answer. I see a lot of people in my practice who started off for evaluation of their back pain, and then they finally figured out that it was really coming from the hip. And I see people, you know, who come for me for their hip, and it's all coming from their back.
So what are some of the clues?
A lot of the clues, if it's in the hip, you're going to see a decreased range of motion of your hip. A lot of times a classic sign for hip arthritis is difficulty putting your shoes and socks on. It's as simple as that. And usually, if you have a back problem, you don't notice it very much putting your shoes and socks on.
That's interesting. Okay, and then for a while there, we were watching. If you get up like I do at 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning, you see all these medical lawyers coming, lawyers who want to sue doctors coming on, and they always say things like, you know, there's a big pot of money out there. Just reach in and take some of it.
Sounds enticing, doesn't it?
Just reach in and take some of it because the Framis didn't fit into the Ultra Framis or something like that. What basically was the big issue there in terms of, you know, the ball fitting into the socket?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of different class action lawsuits that are out there. I think one of the more famous ones over recently was had to do with the type of bearing that was used for hip replacements, with the metal on metal, and I think that's still an ongoing litigation, so to speak. But there was some concern that the metal ball didn't fit in the metal cup correctly, or it didn't wear correctly, and so.
Isn't there porcelain? Do they ever do porcelain?
We do ceramics all the time, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, listen, the phones, believe it or not, have lit up. And so let us go to let us go then, Russell, if I may call you that, to Joan in Glens Falls. Okay, Joan in Glens Falls, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi. I had a knee replacement a year ago, and I would say it was sort of a normal recovery. It's a painful surgery, but in the beginning, I would say things went pretty well, but as time went on, it just got worse and worse. Flexion, it's straight as an arrow, but flexion is where all of the pain occurs. And I have been to two orthopedic surgeons, a neurosurgeon, a neurologist, and an interventional radiologist in the past year to try to solve this issue. And everybody tells me that the parts to the knee are installed literally perfectly. They would call it their own. They're so happy with it. But I can't ride my bike anymore. I can't squat. I can't. It's like somebody's hammering my knee with a hammer. If I try to pedal my bicycle, I'm okay walking. But there's something wrong in there.
Okay,
but
Joan, we got a lot of people on after you, so let's see if the doc.
My question is, obviously I don't need a replacement, but can't they go in there and find out what's wrong?
Well, Joan, to hear about your frustration. It sounds very frustrating. And it's even more frustrating when they tell you that it looks perfect. There can be a lot of different causes of stiffness in the knee. I'm sure if you've seen a couple different orthopedic surgeons, they've checked for an infection and some of the other obvious things we always are concerned about whenever somebody has increasing stiffness or increasing pain. Yes, there are options for people with stiffness like you. If it truly is coming from inside the knee, it may be some scar tissue buildup. That is treatable, usually with arthroscopic surgery and something we call a manipulation. You do have to make sure that there's no extrinsic or other causes to it, like it sounds like you have, whether it's coming from the spine or somewhere else in the body that's making it stiffen up for some other reason. But yeah, there are ways to go in arthroscopically and look, or to just open it up and look. But again, that's more surgery. And, you know, when something looks perfect and we don't know exactly what we're looking for, there is the element of, you know, risk as far as complications are not being able to make a huge difference for you. So it's a tough situation to be in.
Thank you, Joan. Okay, and let's go to Buck in Selkirk, New York. Buck in Selkirk, you're on.
Hi, how are you? I've got a real quick question, and I'm going to hang the phone up, and I'm going to listen to the radio. I had meniscus surgery back in 2011 in my left knee, and getting pain basically increasing all the time. Went back to my ortho guy, and he told me, well, your arthritis is built up in there pretty good. He's recommending that maybe I go to have a knee surgery, a knee replacement. Now, listening to some of the people that call in here, I'm not really in a big hurry to have that done. Is there anything that you could think of that I could maybe go in there and maybe clean up the arthritis, buy me a few more years so I wouldn't have to do this and go through the whole replacement and the rehabilitation? And given that question, I'm going to hang up now and turn my radio back up.
Okay. Thanks, Buck. Okay, go ahead, Doc.
Great, Buck. Well, there's always other options. It kind of depends on how far advanced your arthritis is. Some non-interventional or non-surgical options include cortisone shots, viscosupplementation injections. Nowadays, people are looking at PRP and also stem cell injections.
What's PRP?
PRP is plasma-rich platelets, platelet-rich plasma.
Got it.
Which are kind of new, newer ways of having your body heal itself. Arthroscopy may be an option. Arthroscopy does not help arthritis, but if you have another tear in your meniscus, it may be able to help it. So there are options other than a replacement, kind of depending on how far advanced the arthritis is.
So remind me one more time what arthroscopy is.
Arthroscopy is when we go in through the little poke holes and we clean it up like we do for the meniscus.
Great. Okay. And has anybody succeeded in making a new meniscus yet?
They're working on it. There are meniscal allografts. In other words, you can get a meniscus from a deceased person and do it. And those have limited positive outcomes.
So that's a transplant, right?
Correct.
Okay. But I know one guy who's been trying to do the perfect meniscus, invent the perfect meniscus.
They're working at it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Joe. No, let's take a break, and then we'll come right back. Then we'll go to Joe. Okay, break.
Support comes from Windhorse Naturopathic Clinic, Brattleboro, Vermont, offering naturopathic medicine, oxidative medicine, colon hydrotherapy, and acupuncture. Specializing in Lyme disease, now accepting new primary care patients, windhorsenaturopathic.com. Act Smart New York, Saratoga Springs, offering individualized outpatient counseling and Suboxone treatment for opioid use disorder and medical treatment for alcohol problems. ActSmartNewYork.com. Columbia Memorial Health Hudson, serving the Hudson Valley region, with Mako Precision Robotic Hip and Knee Replacement Surgery Technology, readytobemeagain.com to learn more. And from Albany Cardiothoracic Surgeons, providing patient-centered heart surgery for over 40 years in the capital region, practicing cardiac surgery at St. Peter's Hospital, actsurg.com.
And we are back with Dr. Tigges, and he'll tell you what you need to know. The phones are pretty busy, and we'll go to Joe in Troy. Okay, Joe in Troy, you're on.
Thank you for taking my call, doctors. I've got a hip problem that's been bothering me. I'm 63 years old, and for 4 to 6 years now, I had some X-rays taken of it, and they said it was a moderate amount of arthritis in it. And the biggest problem for me is at nighttime. There are some nights where it just aches like a toothache and it throbs. Why does it do that? And also, is there anything else short of a hip replacement? I want to try to get a few more miles out of it before I make that jump, but at sometimes the pain gets really intolerable.
Thanks, Joe. Nighttime pain is actually very, very common for people with arthritis, and I cannot tell you why. I can tell you that it's a classic sign for arthritis as it gets worse, and so you can feel comfortable that you're not alone. Other options for you, anti-inflammatories, the old Advil, Aleve type of stuff is a good way to help with some of that day achiness, or maybe taking a couple of those before you go to bed might help a lot at night. I actually recommend a cortisone shot into the hip if you're just not quite sure about needing surgery and you just need some relief and time to think about it. Again, we can talk about the PRP and the stem cell that I had mentioned earlier. But those are good options to give you at least a little time to think a little clearer and stuff. And if it's just bugging you that bad every day, maybe it is time to get the surgery.
How about positional? I got a back problem. I find that if I sleep with a pillow between my legs or that kind of thing, it's helpful. Is there a position that helps this?
Classically for hips, not really. For knees, a lot of times a pillow under the knee can make it more comfortable. For the joints, it gets a little bit questionable doing that because we don't want the joints to stiffen up in a bad position or even one position. The more active you are and the better range of motion you have, the longer you tend to avoid surgery.
So when you wake up in
For the last 4 or 5 years, I've gone to physical therapy when it gets real bad, and that seems to help. But, the condition just seems to be getting worse and worse, and, trying to figure out what else to do with it. And like I said, the worst part is just nighttime pain. I do take Tylenol, but I'm kind of concerned. I have other drugs like Plavix and Zocor that I take, but so I don't want to overload the liver,
Yep. Yeah, with the Plavix, you're supposed to stay away from the blood thinners like Advil and Aleve. Therapy's great. Stay as active as you can. It sounds like you're doing everything right. The one thing you may want to...
I've dropped my body weight down to 185. I'm 6'2", very active running and walking and skiing and biking and all that. But, you know, the wheels are getting a little worn out, I think.
How about when you wake up in the morning? Is it worse in the morning when you wake up?
Yeah, I mean, just sitting around, you know, when you go to get up. But then today it's really good, and I had a great night's sleep last night. So there are times when it almost goes away, and I say, you know, hey, we're off and running.
Yeah,
and then other
like
days
know.
It just aggravates like hell.
Great call, Joe. Thank you. Okay, let's go to, let's see here. Yeah, Jim in Matamoros, Pennsylvania. All right, Jim in Matamoros, you're on.
Is digital replacement done on the fingers and toes?
I don't do those, but yes, the fingers are easily done. We call them knuckles, and they're usually done by a hand specialist, most commonly done by for people with rheumatoid arthritis. Toe replacements, usually just some of the, like in the big toe, they can do that first joint. But the other smaller toes, they usually don't replace those. A lot of times they'll just take those out.
Hey, Jim, what happened to you today? You're always the first guy, and now you're the fifth guy. What happened?
Well, I didn't hear, I guess it was Ray, say who was going to be on.
We missed you, man. Okay, thanks.
So I didn't formulate the question until just recently.
Okay, man, thanks. All right. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Carolyn in Red Hook. All right. Go ahead, Carolyn. By the way, if you're listening...
I apologize. I'm on speakerphone. I'm not supposed to be.
Right.
I didn't know how else to keep going. I only wanted to ask him to repeat what he said about the what I think is VIS. I got the PRT, the platelet-rich plasma.
The other thing I mentioned was stem cell injections.
And is that the VIS?
I'm not familiar with those initials.
Okay, maybe I misunderstood. Okay, thank you very much. We've got the same issue here as that fella did, too.
Okay.
I'll let you go.
Thank you, Carolyn. All yep. right. Yep. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Believe it or not, this is a good time to call right now. Don't fool around. You know, it might change your life. Let's go to Michael in Hillsdale. Michael, you're on.
Hey, doctors. Thank you for taking my call. Last fall, I had bilateral partial knee replacements, and everything was going well with the recovery, and I just sort of hit a wall, and the pain just never got better, no matter what I did, anti-inflammatories, physical therapy, exercise. And I went back to the surgeon, and he took some new x-rays and manipulated the knee, and he said, oh, you have arthritis behind your kneecap. And I had specifically asked him before, you know, if there was any chance that there would, you know, I would need a full replacement to please do them, you know, once, because I never wanted to go down that road. So I'm a little depressed at what my options are.
Yeah, Michael, that sounds a little frustrating. In general, when you do partials, there may or may not be a little bit of arthritis behind the kneecap. We, as surgeons, unless it's really severe arthritis behind the kneecap, we find that it really does not become symptomatic in people. And I, you know, obviously it's impossible for me to know how much you had at the time of surgery. Right now, you know, if it's bothering you that much, some of the other options can include, like we had mentioned earlier, a cortisone shot, or even some of the visco supplementation lubricant shots may help with the kneecap arthritis. Usually, not so much physical therapy, but I'm a huge fan of some sort of bicycling, whether it's an exercise bike or real bike. Really, really, really helps kneecap arthritis and kneecap pain. Other than a changing it to a full knee replacement and those options, you know, you could, believe it or not, consider just a kneecap replacement. It's a smaller surgery than going in and changing it to a full knee replacement. It is a little bit scary considering what you've been through already, but just to kind of throw out all the options that there might be.
I have had the cortisone, and it improved my situation for about a month.
Yeah.
And it just continues to get worse.
Yeah, that sounds like a familiar story for those of us who have received cortisone.
Yep.
The first one is real good. The second one, eh. And the third one, forget about it. So
yeah. So do you think I should go seek a second opinion and see what they think of the films that I have and
yes.
go from there?
Even my patients, you know, when you get into a story like yours that, number one, is very frustrating, and number two, is not usual, and we love usual things in medicine, but yours is not usual, I think a second opinion is great. And I would make sure you see someone who's very busy with knees. You want to go get a second opinion from someone who's seen something like this before.
Okay, as a practitioner, let me ask you, when somebody comes to you and says, okay, doc, I want to go get a second opinion, does that tick you off, or are you annoyed when that happens?
I will say that I'm almost never annoyed. I really do believe a second opinion is great.
Okay.
Absolutely. And because, you know, I'm pretty confident 99% of the time, especially if it's a straightforward case, the second opinion person's going to say the same thing I do. The thing where I get a little bit, you know, make sure you do something line is when it's a complicated story. And I tell them, yeah, get a second opinion, please, but make sure you go to someone who's, you know, a knee expert or someone who really concentrates on it. You know, I don't, and nothing against the general practitioner, but I don't want my complicated knee replacement issue being evaluated or by someone who does five knee replacements a year.
Okay. We're going to go to, let's see here. Yeah. We're going to go to see Lynn in Oneonta. Lynn, you're on.
Hi. Hi, thank you. I have a question in regards to weight and having knees, total knee. I need both total knees, but anyway, I have been losing a lot of weight, but now it's really slowed down, and my physical therapist even says I need that knee done because it's almost leaning on the other leg. Somebody told me I broke my leg once, and I didn't know it, too. So, there
I am. Well, Lynn, it's a very common question and a very common problem in our wonderful United States these days. The issue with weight and knee replacement is the risk of complication that it poses. And we don't necessarily go by how much you weigh, as in pounds. A lot of it is based on something we call BMI, body mass index. And we know from several good studies repeated over the years that a BMI greater than 40 puts you at somewhere between a 4 and 7 times higher risk for postoperative complication, including major infection, blood clots, or cardiac events. And so it's not so much that you can't have the surgery. It's that the surgery is going to be an extremely high risk for someone with a BMI greater than that.
Approximately what weight would that be around?
It depends how tall you are.
Huh?
It depends on how tall you are. The BMI, there's a formula.
I used to be 5'7". Now I'm 5'1", or 5.
Wow. I'm right up there with you, right down there with you. Yeah.
Yep.
It's a table, you know, it's a conversion table that they can figure out, and every doctor looks at it, your primary, your orthopod, everybody has those tables. And, you know, I operate on some people who are 40 or above, but we have a very, very long conversation about the risks and the benefits. And if you've stopped losing weight and, you know, there's no other option, maybe you do need the surgery. But if your BMI is way above 40, maybe you should have that at a teaching hospital or a tertiary center where there's a lot more people looking at you to watch out for complications.
And Lynn can go online and look up that formula, right?
Yep. Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, sure. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and now there are only 3 people on the line, which means you want to get in. This is a good time to do it. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. And now over to Rich in Schuylerville. Okay, Rich, you're on.
Thank you for taking my call, doctors. Okay, so my background, I've had arthroscopic surgery about 9 years ago for a torn meniscus. Since then, I have had more significant pain in my knee. I'm a very active guy, snowboard, bicycle, hike, elliptical machine. I do something almost every day. And I've been told by the doctors that have treated me, no more running, no more racquetball. So I've stopped doing those things. And but now I'm feeling as if the things that I love to do, even that are left, are becoming more and more distant because the pain is just too bothersome. So I've gone through two shots of the cortisone so far, and I guess I'm looking at replacement in the somewhat near future. Of course, my questions are a few. One, should I, in the middle, go with this gel therapy type 2? Number two, is this stem cell thing getting to be a better opportunity? And then number three, when I do go ahead, which I'm inevitably going to, I guess, need the replacement, I'm understanding that there might be a custom type of a replacement versus a more run-of-the-mill, if you will. So that's a lot to lay on you.
That's all right, Rich. Thank you. The gel injections, I always tell people there's really no downside to them. Whether they work or not is another thing. The numbers say somewhere between it helps 50 to 80% of people. If your insurance okay. covers them, it might be a good thing to try. The stem cell thing. Stem cells are still pretty investigational. Your insurance company will not cover it, and it's not cheap. The PRP does probably help with pain, but it's not going to help you get rid of your arthritis. The surgery itself, you know, maybe it is time. One thing you do have to remember listening to you, and it's great you're as active as you are, you know, getting your knee replaced is not going to get you running again. You know, a knee replacement patients rarely, if ever, run. Hip replacements, a lot of them do a little bit of running. But you'll be skiing. You'll probably get back to some sort of racquetball.
Right?
You can walk. racquetball might be a plus or minus. Tennis, definitely. But any type of jogging with a knee replacement is extremely uncommon.
Okay. Listen, got to go. Okay. Thank you, Rich. And now we're going to go we'll go to Jim in Glenmont. Jim in Glenmont. Go ahead, Jim.
Good afternoon. Mike, I'm sort of looking more for the doctor to comment a little bit on this. A lot of people have called up and said that they're trying to do all kinds of things to hold off on having the surgery.
Which for knee or back, or knee or hip?
For either.
Okay.
And, you know, the thing I think about, I was a nurse in the hospital, and a lot of people wait so long that they're they're either debilitated for the they're behind the eight ball for the recovery period and for the rehab, and they're older, so the benefit that they're going to get after the surgery is less than it would be if they had the surgery earlier. So I'm wondering if the doctor could comment about the juggling of trying to hold something off so you don't have to go through the surgery. Which inevitably these people are going to have to do anyway.
Okay,
so
Jim, I don't want to cut
earlier.
I don't want to cut you off, but we got it. Okay,
Jim, great question, and it really is a tough decision to make. My kind of go-to thought and for the patient is, you know, if you've tried the normal type of conservative treatment, in other words, the Advils, the Aleves, maybe a shot or two, therapy, maybe something else. And my thing is, if it still continues to alter your activity every day, I think you should consider getting your joint fixed. Now, if it's every other day, or there's times when you have a week or two, or time when it doesn't bother you, maybe it's not time yet. But if literally every day you're going through life and you have to think about how your knee is going to affect what you're doing today, sounds like you need to start thinking about getting it fixed.
Oh, thanks, Jim. Okay, let's see here. We got The reason I stall here is I'm looking for who's been hanging on the longest, and I take you in consecutive order. So now we've got a Portia in Leverett. Okay, Portia, we got a few minutes to do this, so let's
go. Okay, I'll be fast. I am in my 70s, and I have had for about 3 years now what my kids ungraciously call a lurch. I don't walk right. It's also called a gait disturbance, and no one can figure out what it is, maybe a short leg. I don't know. And I've been working with different people, like, you know, physical therapists. So I realized the other day that I just have been putting up with this. I need to do something. So I have narrowed down all my questions to one symptom, and if you can explain it, that would be so helpful. So added to all these other things, I have the experience occasionally of walking along, doing my farm work or whatever, and all of a sudden one of the knees feels like it's going to collapse. It's painful, and I actually dip down. I haven't fallen over yet. It's so no fun, and I'm trying to grapple with it. I'm trying to not have this anymore, but I just need some clues. And I do have there. I don't have haven't seen an orthopedic person. That sounds crazy, I bet, but I have seen other people. And anyway.
Okay, let's go to the answer, because I only got a minute here before the break.
Yeah.
Portia, I'm going to say you're right. It does sound crazy that you haven't seen an orthopod yet.
Okay, I get it. You're right.
So go see one, and I bet they figure it out in less than 5 minutes.
Would that be better than a physical therapist?
Yes.
One's a doctor.
They both could be doctors, but you need a simple X-ray of your pelvis, a simple X-ray of your knee. It's either going to be hip arthritis or a meniscus tear in your knee.
Okay, Portia.
Okay, I'm going to try the simple thing, even though I've avoided for a long time. Thank you very much.
Go do it. Yeah, bye. Okay, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back. We have Bob and Joe and Susan and Mark and Bonnie all waiting to ask their questions.
Support comes from Bassett Healthcare Network, providing orthopedic care for hip, knee, and other joint pain. Information at feelbetterwithbassett.com. New York Oncology Hematology announcing a 4-ring mobile PET and CT. Increased sensitivity to detect small lesions. 518-269-3074 to schedule. Patricia Fennell, founder of AHMA and Lee Shapiro, MD, director of the Scleroderma Center and their research teams, now conducting the Pathways to Scleroderma study. AlbanyHealthManagement.com. Clear Brook Farm, Route 7A, Shaftesbury, Vermont. Celebrating their 24th season, annuals, perennials, hanging baskets, fruit trees, complete selection of organic vegetable and herb starts. ClearBrookFarm.com. And from Community Foundation for the Greater Capital Region, working to improve the quality of life in the Capital Region by connecting donors and nonprofits. Celebrating 50 years, CFGCR.org.
Hi, everybody. We're back here with Dr. Tigges of Orthopedic Associates of Dutchess County, and he's talking about joint replacement. Okay, so let's go to, in order, as fast as we can, to Bob in Po-Town, Poughkeepsie. That's where you're from, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bob.
Thank you for taking my call. Doctor, I have a severe condition of my right hand, diffuse transcontracture.
Yes.
I have that, too.
Okay. My fingers are folded in. Yeah. Are there any new chemical treatments, or do you recommend surgery?
I have not treated that in 20-plus years, so I'm going to defer to my hand colleagues. I do know surgery works great, and I do know there are some injections, but I know the injections can only be used if the contracture is not bad. So it depends on what you look like. So I would highly recommend you seek out a hand surgeon and get something done about it.
Yeah. Okay.
I do have an appointment with your organization in 2 weeks, with Dr. Ristic.
Perfect.
Doing the right thing, Bob. Thank you. Bye. Okay, now we're going to go to, Susan in I-90, on the I-90. Okay, Susan on the I-90, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, go.
All right. I've had problems with pain in my right hip, particularly walking up steps rather than down. Had an X-ray, and from that indicated that the tendons are beginning to calcify, the tendons inserting on the trochanter. Any suggestions on types of activity that will help me to maintain mobility without aggravating that situation?
Sure. Trochanteric bursitis is a very, very common condition, and physical therapy works wonders for that. It is the cornerstone of any type of treatment for that condition. You can do cortisone shots occasionally to help with severe pain. PRP may help the tendon heal. It has a good indication there. But the real cornerstone for long-term success is physical therapy, and that's really kind of it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. 1-800-348-2551. And now we're on to, of all people, Joe in Mount Kisco. Joe in Mount Kisco, you're on.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call. I have Osgood's Slaughter in both my knees. And I wondered, you know, as I've gotten older, I'm 58, and it's just becoming a hassle. I can hardly kneel down. And when I do, I have to be very careful not to aggravate the condition, which is, can happen at any time, as you probably know. So is a knee replacement an option for me, or are there other things that I can do short of that?
Okay, Doc, first of all, describe for the listening audience what the condition is.
Sure. Osgood-Schlatter's is a name of a condition that's on the, it's more the top end of the shin bone, where the patellar tendon attaches to the top of the shin bone. And it's usually from childhood. You get the big bumps on the front of your knee, just below the knee. And they can become irritated. A lot of times that can, as an adult, that can be associated with some bursitis also.
Do you know who Osgood was?
Osgood and Schlatter.
Oh, they're two of them.
Two guys. I think they were either British or German guys from way back when, doctors.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry for doing that.
That's all right. So as you might have noticed there, it's outside the knee joint. So a knee replacement won't help that at all. But there are some treatments. You can, there are braces that help that a lot, little wraps that can take the pressure off. Cortisone is probably a no-no, although the PRP injection may be a good indication there. There's no really good surgery for it. It's a very, very frustrating condition as an adult.
Okay. Sorry to hear that. Thank you.
Bye. Okay. And now we're going to go visit with... Oh, Mark in Glenmont. Mark in Glenmont, your turn.
Hello, thanks for taking my call. I was checking in on shoulder replacements. I've got a long-standing shoulder injury. An orthopod told me 10 years ago my shoulder was quite worn out, but I was too young for a shoulder replacement because it did not last very long. Recently, it's been suggested that I'm old enough now and that they last a lot longer. So I'm mostly concerned with what sort of activities are allowable and how long I'll be able to do it. I kayak professionally and am very active. It's been very angry lately.
Wow. Mark, that's a tough problem there if you're kayaking professionally.
I want to know what kayaking professionally means. You take people out for rides?
Yes, I train kayak instructors.
Okay.
I work for adjunct faculty for a bunch of colleges.
Wow. Okay.
And you're still able to do that with your shoulder and its condition now?
Yeah, but it's, you know, I'm dancing around it for sure. It's I'm not at peak performance by any means.
The problem
I'm riding on experience and technique at this point.
Yeah, and the problem is number one, it's been a long time since I've done a shoulder replacement, so I'm going to give you kind of the broad view of it. Shoulder replacements, I can tell you, there's not going to be a guarantee you're going to get back to working on your boat. So that's number one. Number two, doesn't mean you might not, and you might be doing just fine. Shoulder replacements do last a lot longer. They've come a long way just in the last 5 years to where they're pretty similar, I won't say to a hip replacement, but definitely 10, 20 plus years, you should get good use out of them. The issue is a shoulder replacement never works as good as your normal shoulder. It's really a pain procedure rather than a functional mobility procedure. And, you know, I would just recommend you seek out someone who does a lot of shoulder replacements and hear what they have to say and kind of take it from there.
So I got a question for both of you. Does the injury come from repetition? In other words, if he's a kayaker, obviously he's doing the same thing over and over again, right?
He is. I'm not a big fan of repetition causing severe arthritis. I'm going to guess that he had some sort of injury or some sort of other thing that started it all off for him.
Okay.
Yes, an early injury playing a game with a nasty little pigskin.
There you go.
Don't do it. Thank you. Bye, Mark. Okay, let's see here. I've never liked that game. Okay, let's go to Bonnie in Saratoga. All right, Bonnie, your turn.
Yes, hi. I didn't realize when I first called that this was about replacement, but I maybe you can answer the question. I had an ACL and a meniscus tear last summer. I had surgery on them in August. I was going to physical therapy, but that was interrupted for a longer story than you need to hear. And my knee still won't get quite straight. When I try to really make it straight, there's like a popping almost in the back of my knee. And I'm wondering if, since it's been so long, if there's any chance that physical therapy can actually straighten it now. I also have rheumatoid arthritis, so there's probably some swelling still just even due to that. Or has it been too long and now I'm it's just not going to get straight now?
It sounds like a good question, Bonnie. Never say never. I think you definitely have a chance that some more kind of focused physical therapy could probably help you. The big thing that popped out to me was your underlying rheumatoid arthritis did not get helped by this injury and surgery. And so it's going to be interesting to see where your stiffness is coming from. If it's from kind of residual from your ACL, I think you have a good shot of making it better with therapy. If it's coming from your advancing rheumatoid arthritis, you might be more frustrated than not.
But it's worth a try to see if they can get that leg to straighten.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Thanks,
yeah,
Bonnie.
That's it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And let's go to Miley in Hudson. It's either Miley or Millie. I don't know. We'll find out. Is it Miley or Millie?
It's Miley.
Miley, okay.
Hi. I am almost 49, and I tore up my ACL and meniscus decades ago in high school. And I've done surgeries and injections, and at this point I'm looking at knee replacement, and I'm just trying to figure out, like, will I need a second one at some point?
Well, when people ask me that, I'll say I cannot predict the future.
Okay.
But I can tell you that nowadays knee replacements have roughly a 90% chance of lasting at least 20 years. And they have an 80% chance of lasting at least 30 years. So, you know, if you take care of yourself, stay as active as you can, stay as healthy as you can, and try not to injure that knee too many times, it has a good chance of lasting a few decades. And then you see what happens then.
Yeah, then you'd be in your 70s.
And
like
who,
I am.
And who knows what we're doing in medicine then.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay,
okay,
Miley.
Thank you.
Right. Okay, and now on to... Yeah, another Bonnie. What's the chances of two Bonnies and a couple of calls? Bonnie, you're on in Avril Park.
Hi, I know it's not a very common name. I will be quick. I've got a bursitis in my hips. I've had an MRI. I've had an X-ray. I do not have arthritis. The doctor said no hip replacement for a good 10 years or so. And I know about all the treatments. I had the cortisone shot, et cetera. But the question is, like, what causes this? So... I joined the Y and I went out and started to swim, and, you know, 3 days later I'm hobbling around. And I had this happen last year as well. But so is it just a question of doing too much too fast that causes bursitis, or is there some other underlying reason?
Great question. In my experience and from most textbooks, I can tell you the most common reason is overuse of one activity.
Okay.
Or the starting a new activity a little bit too vigorously. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes it's even direct trauma, you know, literally banging it against the kitchen counter. And a lot of times you feel it a little bit and you kind of blow it off, and then all of a sudden you realize it's not going away, and then all of a sudden you've had it for 3 or 4 months, and then it takes a year to get rid of.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me last year. So the question I asked, I went in to see the orthopedic doctor recently, and I said, can you say whether it's the type of stroke? Is it the breaststroke kick or is it the flutter kick? He said, I can't answer that for you. And so the question is, you know, should I stop swimming or just slow down and be gentle? Or do you think it's related to a specific kick? I mean, I realize you can't tell specifically, but
I have a hard time thinking it's a specific kick. I've never run across that. And in general, activity is good. Everything I kind of quoted there was overdoing it. Mm-hmm. If you want to get it under control, the key to it really is to continue doing those hip exercises you learn in physical therapy literally the rest of your life.
Now you know.
Oh, no.
Now you know, my doctor always says, if you call him up and you say, I have this or that, he always says, well, stop doing it for 2 weeks and see what happens. Okay. So you have all of those strokes, right? Try them out.
I can't argue with that.
Is that a bad diagnosis, doctor?
It's worth a try.
Okay, great.
Thanks,
thank you very much.
All right. Let's go to, I know where. We'll go to Denise in Hopewell Junction. Okay, Denise, Hopewell Junction is on the air.
Hi, doctor. How are you today?
Good.
Good. My question is not really about joint pain per se. It's more about sciatica. My mother-in-law, who's 89 years old, is in severe pain from sciatica. Spent a few days in the hospital. They did CAT scan, MRI, etc., and determined that she's 89 years old. So, you know, this is tough. She's going from sitting to standing is just, she is in excruciating pain. Aside from, I mean, they did have a physical therapist work with her a little bit. Aside from taking painkillers, I mean, what can be done? Is there any sort of like minimally invasive surgery that can help to alleviate this pain? Or would it, you know, I'm not sure if you could tell. I mean, I know when they did the MRI, CAT scan, et cetera, they did find arthritis and a bone spur that might have been impacting. You know, would it be possible to go in and take care of that bone spur?
Okay, Deb, we're running out of time. So, Denise, we're running out of time. So very quickly, doctor.
Very tough problem. Surgery probably isn't the first place to go in someone like that. Physical therapy and maybe a consideration of a cortisone shot would probably be the best place to go.
Okay. Thanks, Denise. Okay. Let's try to get one more in, but it's got to be really, really, really fast. We've got a Bob in Rhinebeck. Bob in Rhinebeck, your turn.
Dr. Tigges, I am your patient. You've done 2 hips on me. You've done 2 knees on my wife. And I just want to say that Dr. Tigges is a blessing and a treasure in Dutchess County or wherever else he practices. So I just want to thank you.
Well,
Bob,
you should.
Thanks a lot.
Bob, you should. You know, the Dr. Tigges' parents were farmers, and he has a brother who is a veterinarian.
Yes.
So he comes by this skill, honestly, doesn't he? Yeah. thank you very much,
Bob. I'll tell you, Dr. Tigges has made me a brand new person. Thank you very much.
You're the bionic man. Okay. So we might get a real fast one in here. I don't know. I'll probably get yelled at by Zach, the engineer. Will in Ballston Lake, you got a one-sentence question for a one-sentence answer? Go ahead.
Okay, I was diagnosed with Charcot's foot, and I want to ask what's the advantages of fusion of the foot bones versus ankle replacement.
Sure. Well, with Charcot joint, really ankle replacement is not an option. That's one of the actual contraindications to doing that surgery. So it looks like you're looking at fusion or some sort of other conservative therapy just to minimize the pain you have.
Okay, we gotta go. Okay. Okay, I just spilled my coffee. That's not good. We're out of time. I want to thank everyone who called in. I want to thank Diane and Jim, who have patiently waited on the phone, but we're out of time. Underwriting support for Medical Monday comes from WMC Heart and Vascular Institute with new diagnostic cardiology suites at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospitals, members of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network, WMCHealth.org. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. A big thank you to Dr. Russell Tigges of Orthopedic Associates of Dutchess County for joining us today. Our engineer has been Zach Valoy. Your calls were answered by Joe Makowitz. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Alan Shartok. Stay tuned now for our news update.